FM 96 and 95.7, this is BBC Radio Cambridgeshire.
Well, we're all having our technical comprehensions stretched by my two guests, Stanley Wee and David Greaves from ATM Limited, who are explaining how it is possible one of these days, perhaps now, to do things with your television set that you never imagined. I have as my guests Stanley Wee and David Greaves from ATM Limited, as I said. Now, we've described how you can get a limitless number, or almost a limitless number, of things coming down the wire to your television set. How do you get the messages back ordering something? Let's go to you, David Greaves. How do you get things back? I mean, I'm sitting there with my television set. How do I tell you what I want?
Well, the device that you're familiar with using is just an infrared remote control unit, a plinger. So you're quite happy to press a button at the moment, and an infrared beam goes from your hand to the television, and it changes the television. Well, it's only really a small step to send that information out into the curbside unit and then through the town to a central office.
Those green boxes all over those the place, the curbside unit,
green,
yes.
Yes.
Some people think it's awful and some people don't, and still carry on.
Yes. Well, there are sort of little places where we put our equipment, so we like them.
Yes.
So you can... So typically you would switch on your television, and instead of choosing one of the regular channels, you would choose a video on demand service. And maybe the first thing you would do is enter your personal identification number, so that, because you're probably going to be tariffed or billed for the things that you view or buy. And so the first thing to do is authenticate yourself somehow to your set-top, to your television.
So you have a sort of a discrete number or something?
You've got
like
your
that.
Own number. You may have a credit card swipe slot on your set-top box, which you put your credit card
right.
through.
Or but even a switch card, so the money goes straight into your bank account.
Indeed, yes, indeed. But in the ones that we have at the moment, you just enter a number on your channel select buttons, and then that system knows that it's you. You keep that number secret. And then you're presented with a variety of services that you might like to use. So shopping may be one of them.
It's a bit like pages at the moment of the Oracle and that sort of thing, only incredibly more elaborate.
Yes, it is. Teletext and Oracle have had limited success, and one of the main problems with them is the long response time. You type something and it takes a while for something to happen.
Mm.
And another problem with them is just the small amount of information which is really available on them. We're talking about a new generation of these things, which include full motion video. So if you choose to buy a particular car, you'll see footage of that car going along a motorway. It may be even a car at the local garage, which the local garage dealer has taken his camera, he's taken footage, the sound of the engine running on his forecourt, he's given it to a local company, a bit like a local radio station, who is putting this advertising media up on the local service, and then people at home can see what's available.
So that a person, I mean, I always think that advertising is as important as anything else in a newspaper, let's say, because I think you get your image of what's going on from the advertisements. But people will not necessarily look at advertisements in a random fashion. They will summon up the advertisements they want to see.
Yes,
if you're thinking of buying an engagement ring, then you can have all the advertisements for engagement rings.
It's a cross between catalogue shopping and targeted advertising and information services. There will be a whole new industry of people providing these services local and national level.
Because the advertisers aren't going to like this very much, because one of the things that advertisers like about the jumble, and I don't mean the word unkindly, of newspaper advertising, is that you come across advertisements for things you didn't know you wanted before.
Yes.
You saw the advertisement. You wouldn't think of eating crispy, crunchy, hula hoopy boobs, until you saw the advertisement by chance. You would never conceivably ask for all the advertisements for snack foods, would you?
No, you wouldn't. There will be probably some people probably pay for a gold service where they get less advertising. Maybe other people will like to see adverts. And of course, because the information is flowing out of the set-top box, the people who are advertising to you can find out a little bit about you. This opens a whole new area
right.
of security and Big Brother is watching you.
And also this whole business of address lists. I mean, if you write away for information about double glazing or a conservatory, you do it at your peril because you're going to be, you are then identified as somebody with £10,000 to spare.
Yes, yes.
And you start getting advertisements from, and mail shots from everybody.
Well, these aspects of the whole system are very hotly debated, both sides of the Atlantic.
What's happening in the States? How far are they along this road?
In America, they're roughly the same way along the road as far as experimental trials go. Trials have been taking place in Orlando and other places in America. Around in Britain, there's trials in Ipswich and so on. We are involved in the local Cambridge trial with Anglia Television and Cambridge Cable, company.
So, Mr. Wee, you have distributed in the Cambridge area a number of cable television users with the means of sending messages back to the place where the pictures come from.
Indeed, that's correct. Right now, the trials aren't online yet, so they will be put online near the end of this year. But we have demonstration systems whereby we do have this this capability demonstrated, for instance, between ourselves and Acorn. Our two offices are linked by the type of cable which you would get on these cable sort of television systems. And people at Acorn, they have a television with a set-top box and a remote control, and they actually select clips, movie clips or even sound clips from a server that sits in our office. So certainly the technology is there.
The technology is there, but is the capital there? I mean, it needs two sorts of capital. It needs the people to be reasonably well off to pay for the service, the ordinary sort of domestic user, and it needs an enormous capital investment at your end, doesn't it?
Well, as a service provider, yes, you'd certainly need a lot of capital, but I think it'll be very much like a cable TV deployment where right now, if you have cable TV, you're essentially given the set-top box, because they see that they can actually get additional, provide you with additional services and recoup the money that way. With this new service, you can actually think of even more innovative services that can be provided by the service providers. So they're extremely keen on doing this, because here, with things like home shopping, with interactive television, you can actually get people using the service, paying a premium for the service, and that over, I guess, a number of years, they can actually recoup the money and start making a profit.
I've been thinking that it changes the whole way that the media are run, because just as the video has changed the nature of television, you can, if you possess the video, you can watch a program whenever you want to. It's going to almost do away with the video. And equally, the sequence of radio programs won't matter anymore in terms of time as we view it. Because, I mean, if somebody, I mean, most people don't even want to listen to this program between 11 and 1, but even if they did but couldn't, they could press a button and get it up when they do want it. Have I got that right?
Yes, indeed. Time shift viewing is one of the main uses of video recorders at the moment, but you have to remember to put it on. We're saying that that's one of the main, one of the easy services for us to provide. We don't need to buy a lot of content from Hollywood and go into copyright deals with a wide variety of companies in order to put that service up, and it will be a popular service. And the of course, there will still be the thrill of being live on the air.
Well, you see, it does worry me a bit, because there is something about, it's like holding a newspaper. Yesterday's newspaper is a dead organism, and today's is alive in a sort of curious sense. And it's the same with live broadcasting and recorded broadcasting. There's something that it's hard to put your finger on it, but it does make a difference. Are we going to live in a world where nothing is happening when we really think, when we are led to believe it's happening?
No, I don't think so. I think what you will have is user choice. People who would want to listen to live broadcasts, and there still remain people who will listen to live broadcasts, for instance, radio broadcasts or for sports events, can do so. But it also gives the user the choice of actually listening to events that have been recorded and listening when they want and where they want it, rather than actually have to wait and actually be at the whim of whichever broadcaster they happen to listen to.
But whim? Method, sir. Let's get back to the shopping side of things, because, I mean, the two big divisions are entertainment and shopping, although some people, I mean, shop for fun. you quoted the case of a car sale. Mm-hmm. Now, here we're talking about £10,000 or so. But if we're talking about something much smaller, if we're talking about groceries, now, the home delivery service of groceries isn't dead, but it's running at a very low level. Now, if the big supermarkets came on your service and they had huge menus of things that you can buy, I mean, some of them carry 1,000, 2,000 lines, and you at home could run through the list and tick off the things you want, are they interested in restoring the old delivery service?
I think it would follow on very naturally, yes. You would need to go to the shop if you didn't want to.
So if I wanted 3 packets of rice noodles and a jar of Marmite, two halibut steaks, I'd be lucky, wouldn't I? And some shampoo. And they thought it was worth their while delivering an order of, say, a minimum of £20, then they might do that.
Indeed. We're looking at providing minimum orders of much lower than that. For instance, charging somebody to hear one play of one CD, which might cost them a few pence. We have to put the charging infrastructure in, which will make it cost-effective to bill people for just a few pence at a time. And if we can do that, then huge new areas of market open up.
Maybe you wouldn't, if they gave you the permission to deduct it automatically from their bank account, which has happened already in some cases, then the billing bit of it, all they'd get was a message from their bank saying you have taken so much away from them.
It could be of that way. People may like to do it another way. They might like to download money into their television. In that they
sorry, but the language of it all amuses me.
They charge
downloading money.
You would be charging up your set-top box with a credit, and so you might decide to spend a few pounds, like getting some money out of a cash point. But this money would be in your set-top box, and then each time you did something which costed something, such as playing a particular snip of a movie or something, that credit would be deducted, and then when you're getting low, you'd have the equivalent of the pips flashing up on your television set.
Mr. Wee, how close is all this?
It's very close. One of the things that is happening right now throughout the world, certainly in the Cambridge area, is the trials are actually being put in place. As I said, the technology is already there. What people are trying to work out right now are the things like the charging structure, and also whether in deploying a service to thousands of users, what are the implications in terms of all the putting together the system and so on. But I would certainly see in the next 2 or 3 years a lot of video on demand type services that allow you to have home shopping or different types of interactive services coming online.
I can think of a future where there are no gramophones, no radio sets and no television sets. All you'll have is a loudspeaker and a screen. The rest of the works would be almost redundant because the impulse is coming down the cable. You don't need all the elaborate apparatus. You can just make it come in. Look at all this rubbish I've got on my left here. We could do away with all that. I just press a button and the next tune comes up. And I can see a future where there are fewer shops in the way we know them. And there could be shops with no counters at all because nobody ever goes there apart from the people who run it. Is that right?
Yes, it's all possible, but it's all a matter of what society wants. And maybe
right.
We could have a rebellion. Maybe people want to go out, and I'm sure they will continue going out. So this is these markets will only grow as people find that they actually like doing things that way. And
we'll see, won't we, whether we really like the experience of shopping, which most men don't, and some women do. I mean, we vary, don't we? It's a fascinating field for speculation. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for coming here. I don't know whether I'm frightened or excited by it. A bit of both, really. I don't doubt we'll see you all again in the very near future when this whole thing really gets off the ground. Stanley Wee and David Greaves from ATM Limited. It's coming up now to 12:30.